Don't you want to? I asked. It was one of those moments where I knew we were not having the conversation that we needed to be having. And since I didn't really know what to say, never having crossed this particular bridge between thought and deed before, I pressed my hand up against the thick ridge in his pants. He backed away from me. "Jewel," he said, "I don't want you to think that's why I'm here. Let me tell you this. If you meet a loner, no matter what they tell you, it's not because they enjoy solitude. It's because they have tried to blend into the world before, and people continue to disappoint them. Then why are you here? Because you know all the words to American Pie?" Campbell said. "Because when you smile, I can almost see that tooth on the side that's crooked." He stared at me. "Because you're not like anyone I've ever met." "Do you love me?" I whispered. Didn't I just say that? This time, when I reached for the buttons of his jeans, he didn't move away. In my palm, he was so hot, I imagined he would leave a scar. Unlike me, he knew what to do. He kissed and slipped, pushed, cracked me wide. Then he went perfectly still. "You didn't say you were a virgin," he said. "You didn't ask." But he'd assumed. He shuddered and began to move inside me, a poetry of limbs. I reached up to hold onto the gravestone behind me, words I could see in my mind's eye. "Nora Dean, born 1832, died 1838. "Jewel," he whispered when it was over. "I thought... I know what you thought. I wondered what happened when you offered yourself to someone and they opened you, only to discover you were not the gift they expected, and they had to smile and nod and say thank you all the same." I blame Campbell Alexander entirely for my bad luck with relationships. It is embarrassing to admit, but I have only had sex with 3.5 other men, and none of those were any great improvement on my first experience. "Let me guess," Seven said last night. "The first was a rebound, the second was married."
"How'd you know?"
He laughed. "Because you're a cliché." I swirled my pinky in my martini. It was an optical illusion, making the finger look split and crooked. "The other one was from Club Med, a windsurfing instructor."
"That must have been worthwhile," Seven said.
"He was absolutely gorgeous," I answered, "and had a dick the size of a cocktail, Frank."
"Ouch."
"Actually," I mused, "you couldn't feel it at all." Seven grinned.
"So he was the half?"
I turned beet red. "No, that was some other guy." "I don't know his name," I admitted. "I sort of woke up with him on top of me, after a night like this one."
"You," Seven pronounced, "are a train wreck of sexual history."
"But this is inaccurate. A runaway train is an accident. Me? I'll jump in front of the tracks. I'll even tie myself down in front of the speeding engine. There's some illogical part of me that still believes if you want Superman to show up, first there's got to be someone worth saving." Kate Fitzgerald is a ghost just waiting to happen. Her skin is nearly translucent. Her hair so fair, it bleeds into the pillowcase. "How are you doing, baby?"
Brian murmurs, and he leans down to kiss her on the forehead.